You're up to date at 7:40. We turn our attention now once again to the Napa City Council race, and over the last couple of days we've been welcoming in candidates for some one-on-one time as we get closer to the election, less than 2 weeks to go now. And joining us this morning, Council candidate Bernie Narvaez. Bernie, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having me here.
So for those who may not have heard you on the air before, haven't gotten acquainted with you, give us your quick intro, your elevator speech about your campaign.
Well, absolutely. I'm running for Napa City Council because I care and love my community. We live in a beautiful and diverse community, and with an open seat, we have an opportunity to elect somebody that will represent everybody. You know, I came to this country with my family at a young age, and we didn't have a place to live and barely any money, and we didn't know the language or the culture, and we struggled and lived in poverty and hardship. But the opportunities of this country gave me the opportunity to reach the American dream, and it's hard to reach that. So I want to give back to Napa that's been good to me and my family, and give an opportunity to those that are struggling to reach their version of the American dream and represent everybody.
Very good. Bernie Narvaez, let's get started here and talk about some specific things. It's been generally agreed that housing is the community's biggest concern right now, the cost of housing, lack of options for housing, and everybody agrees that's the problem. The next step is, what are solutions?
Right.
If elected, what specific steps would you take to address housing issues?
Well, I've been talking about funding a local housing program to help people rent and buy it in Napa. So we've, you know, let me give you a personal story. Over a year ago, my wife and I were looking to buy a home. We qualified for the down payment assistance, but didn't give us enough purchasing power to buy in Napa. Once we had enough money to buy in Napa, we didn't qualify for down payment assistance. So, you know, we were very close to leaving Napa, and we were, you know, we looked at the surrounding counties, the surrounding cities, and you know, it was very enticing to leave Napa, but we made a commitment to be here, and we've been a homeowner for a little over a year. August was the first time I was a homeowner, and it was a hard experience. And as a veteran, I had benefits through the VA loan that other people don't have. So it got me thinking, what else can we do? We have over $25 million in the TOT and tourist tax, and we can invest more in programs to help our working families, help the young families that are leaving, they're taking school-age kids away from our community, people that are earning wages and spending it somewhere else because they don't live here. So this is an investment because it's going to help us be the community that we need to be.
So you referenced money available through what's going into the general fund, into the city's general fund, right? Transient occupancy tax being part of that. Did you mention the tourism improvement district funds?
No. I only mentioned the TOT.
Just the TOT.
Yeah. So that's a different
thing. Right. You're not recommending a change to the money going to the tourism improvement
district. No, that's a self-assessed fee by the tourism industry.
So you'd be looking at reapportioning or reallocating existing general fund revenues to try to create a housing fund?
In a way. So the thing is, right now, there's something on the ballot to increase 1% TOT because we didn't do this before. Had we done this before, had the foresight to say, look, we're growing the TOT, right? And the people, the stakeholders that are helping grow this TOT, you know, are the workers, are the investors, the builders, the operators, also the workers. And the workers are having a hard time finding a place to live here. Some businesses are closing. Employees are having a hard time employing people because some workers just can't take it, be on the road anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to house everybody, but we have to create opportunities to do better. And by helping the people that are creating this economic growth, then we build a healthier community. Yes, I do think that we have an opportunity. At least start with the pilot program, see how that works, and see what we need to fix and go from there. Mm-hmm. But we definitely can do more.
And what form would that assistance take in your mind? You mentioned down payment assistance as one program. Some of those exist. Is that what you're talking about? More of that?
There's different ways to do it because everybody's in a different situation. You know, if you're in poverty, you have a lot of assistance. If you're wealthy, then you can take care of yourself. The people in the middle, that's the challenge. That's where I find myself to be. That's where a lot of my friends and neighbors found themselves to be, where they're getting priced out. They're getting pushed out. They're getting frustrated. The children may not be able to grow up in Napa and play in the same park that they grew up in and go to the same school. So finding something to help them. So it could be help people into market rate rental. It could be first and last. It could be some kind of expense because people can afford may afford the monthly rent, but moving creates a hardship. You know, so if we want to get people off the road and shorter commute, we have to find ways to help them. We're not going to be able to build enough affordable housing for everybody. It's not what we're going to do. I mean, we need to build affordable housing, right? But we got to be realistic too. And helping people to the market rate would be good too. Exploring that view, working with the real estate community and finding out, hey, what's the best way to tackle this? They, mm-hmm. you know, Norbar endorsed me because I've had this conversation with them. How can I give you more tools to house our workers, to house our families, to and it helps the schools, you know. So explore ways to use our growth and reinvest in our community to solve some of these issues.
Let's talk a little bit about tourism. When we bring up the TOT, the transient occupancy tax or hotel tax, there's a connection, obviously, to tourism. As you've described, that income, revenue to the city from the hotel tax has risen dramatically over the last several years, and it looks like it's going to keep going up. There's no sign of that changing. So it does generate a lot of money, and yet at the same time, there's a definite anti-tourist sentiment that's been developing over the last couple of years. As more hotels have been built, as the traffic gets a little heavier and congestion in some areas, everybody likes to make fun of tourists and complain about them. But it's a little different now. The tone is different than it used to be, I think. What's your position on the status of tourism? Are you in favor of additional efforts to generate more tourism? Have we reached a saturation point? Would you like to see less tourism? Where are you on that spectrum?
Well, first of all, I think the reason many of us are frustrated with some of the tourism and Napa is because we haven't focused that growth back into our community. So when somebody sees a tourist, they see somebody playing in their backyard, but we as local Napans, we're not seeing or at least feeling or hearing that those monies are going back to the community. We spent, new bathrooms downtown, put the bathrooms in certain parks, or we don't have any bathrooms in certain parks. When I'm meeting with families, they're saying, I love to take my kids to a park, but there's no restrooms there. There's no safe crosswalks in certain neighborhoods, so where's the benefit? What's the point of growth if we are not seeing enough benefit from it? And I think that's where what we're hearing is that frustration. My take is I want to change that. When you see a tourist, when you see somebody coming in, we don't feel like that anymore. We feel, they're contributing to quality of life in Napa because we're taking those funds and making good decisions to reinvest in our community.
Mm-hmm. There's a sort of a litmus test kind of situation right now, right here in the last 2 weeks of the campaign. The Planning Commission last week gave the green light to the most recent hotel proposal, which involves the old post office on 2nd Street. You're familiar with what's been going on with that. How do you feel about that proposal as it's presented? And if you're elected to the council and this ends up in before you, how would you vote on it?
Well, first, I like that we're going to keep the historic part of that building. The TOT is helping, but as long as we have it has to result in a contribution to our community, right? It has to be something that's a public benefit. So if we're going to use these funds to reinvest and create housing programs, then, I'm going to be in favor of certain projects. So this one's going to – right now we're spending a lot of our money. Currently income is already allocated. And if we're going to create new programs to help people, we need to create more revenue. So if I want to create more affordable housing and programs and housing projects like Napa Pipe or if when that comes through or the corporate yard, which I've spoken a lot about is building housing there. People are going to need help to move in there or else we're going to have our workers displaced again. So we do need some of these projects to go through to help alleviate those costs, that burden on our workers and our families. So I need to look more into it to find out what the final Titos is. What I'm going to be in favor is if there's a clear benefit to our public and to programs that I want to be in place. If there's not, then I'm likely to vote against it.
We're talking with Bernie Narvaez. It's our latest round of interviews with candidates for Napa City Council. We've spoken with four out of the six over the last 2 days here on the show, and today we're getting a chance to talk with Bernie, number five out of the six, as we check them off, working our way through this. Let's talk for a moment about representation. There's certainly been a clear message, as you've said all along, of Latino representation on the council being important. The question obviously comes out from that. Do you feel that the existing council, previous councils, have not represented the Latino community appropriately or well?
Well, you know, we've had good leadership. You know, we don't agree on everything, but they're leaders in their own right. But it's hard to make connections when you don't you didn't live in the culture, the language barriers. There's just natural barriers that, you know, regardless of their intentions are great. They've, you know, Mayor Tecla has done, you know, a lot to try and connect with the Latino community. I think she's done a great job. But, you know, there are natural barriers to that when someone like me that's, you know, I'm the only immigrant running for Napa City Council, and the only veteran, and that gives me a different perspective. I, you know, understand the culture and, you know, the difference in certain communities and their take on government versus other cultures, and having those honest conversations, you know, it just brings down those natural barriers when you speak the same language, you grew up in the same culture. So those things help. It's not everything, you know, but it definitely helps me to reach to certain parts of the community that feel unheard, that feel underserved, underrepresented. Mm-hmm. It's just one more tool to be able to serve my community.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you also about an endorsement. I understand you have the Taxpayers Association endorsing you. We understand the perspective of members of the Taxpayers Association being fundamentally that we're all overtaxed and don't add any more to the burden that exists there. However, that sort of fundamental feeling, and most of us don't like paying taxes, but that fundamental feeling has expanded over time to be perceived by a lot of people in the community as anti-everything that is for the public good, you know, whether that's improving the schools, the bonds that have been issued for schools. The Taxpayers Association has fought all of those. Transportation measures. We have one that did pass finally, and it's kicking in. There'll be some money for streets and roads, right. But they sunk the earlier efforts to do that. We would have had a lot of money for streets and roads previously if not for the Taxpayers Association. Is that an endorsement that you think is helpful in your campaign?
Well, I think every endorsement has pros and cons because we're such a diverse community. I think they recognize that we do need leadership that can reach all taxpayers in our community. And, you know, going back to a previous question about diversity and representing Latino community. And first of all, you know, I want to tell, I'm here to represent everybody, not just the Latino community. It's just that I've come from that community, so it's easy for me to talk about, but doesn't mean that I'm going to exclude everybody. Even if you don't vote for me, even we don't agree, I want to have a conversation with you. My door's open. You can call me, and I want to talk to you. I just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that endorsement means that they know that we need that diverse leadership because our taxpayers are diverse. Doesn't mean we agree on everything, but we want to make sure we make financial decisions that are sound and healthy for our community. Mm-hmm. And investing in our infrastructure is important, but also we got to think about the quality of life of people and how much is too much.
Let's talk about the Civic Center project for a moment. This has certainly become one of the crucial issues, I think, for all the candidates to speak to. Prior to the election season really revving up, nobody was talking about this at all, and it was on its track to proceed in the way that city's management had devised. Now it's become very, very politicized, and I know that, you know, opinions may change after the election, you know, so on and so forth. That often happens. But what's your basic feeling about the Civic Center proposal as it stands, and how would you proceed to deal with that issue if you're elected to the council?
So first, I look at what we currently have. The Napa Police Department, the building, it's out of compliance, does not meet the Central Services Building Seismic Safety Act that's required by California. So I'm concerned that when the next natural disaster occurs, we don't know when. I mean, it could be as soon as, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but we don't know when the next earthquake is going to happen. And when it does, I'm concerned about the safety of our employees in that building. If that gets red tagged, what's going to happen to first responders and the second responders? Meaning if your house is red tagged, you need to get inspected, and you can't have anybody go to your place because we have infrastructure and city service issues. So I look at that and the best way to handle that. And then I look at the seven different locations that we have. We're scattered, and we're looking to consolidate, to increase collaboration between the heads of each department. Right now, we're not meeting that. So what's the best way to do it? We need a new location, consolidate, free up that land to create additional tax revenue. Again, to fund those programs that we need to help the struggling families in our community. So, you know, I'm not saying break ground right now. What I'm saying is let's keep moving forward. I mean, last I heard is, you know, we may not even move the fire department yet. We'll just build, and we could even lease that the location we currently are until we build it. I mean, there's so many different ways to do this, right? But what we do know, we need a city hall, we need a police department. Recently, I've actually called the mayor of this, excuse me, I have my notes here. Kannapolis, North Carolina, because they build a combined police department and city hall. I called them. I wanted to know. They built it about 5 years ago. So I wanted to know, what's it like working in the city hall with the police department next and all the head of departments there? You know, he gave me a lot of positive feedback. The collaboration, having the police department there, he loved it. You know, he didn't have any negative things to say. There, you know, he says that to go to certain areas in the police department, you have to have background checks and things like that, you know, but there may be some challenges, some changes that people may be uncomfortable with, but look at the big picture. You know, if we separate it, that means we have two different bills we have to pay for, two different designs, and we're looking at costs. I think that's going to cost more. Combining it, it's going to cost less. And we have one building that meets the seismic, the essential service buildings that California requires. So if there is a natural disaster, we have police department, we have the mayor all in one location to help us move forward and make sure that we move in the right direction. We have our share of disasters. I mean, I'm not taking this lightly. I want to make sure that our government is effective in times of need to make sure that they provide the services to our residents that are in danger, that need emergency services, that need the services to move on with their lives.
Mm-hmm. We just got a couple minutes left. I'm wondering, I know you've been out walking in the neighborhoods, knocking on doors and talking to people for quite a while. Have you heard anything that surprised you, any issues that came up that weren't already on your radar? And the second question in that is, what's the single most common concern that you hear people mentioning?
The single most common concern is my children are not going to be able to live here. Hmm. When I plan my future, when my children plan their future, Napa is not part of it. And that just, that it goes right, you know, where my heart, where I'm trying to, because I went through that, right? I almost left Napa. I could have been running for city council in another town, you know. And again, we met a commitment here, and it's not an easy one. It's hard, you know. And I have two baby girls. One's 2 weeks tomorrow.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And, you know, I want them to grow up here and not be part of their future. And, you know, that's just one of the most common things is my children.
Yeah.
Do they have a future here? The other one is, you know, finishing. It's not a surprise because sidewalks, crosswalks, you know, the aging population that feels unheard, you know, they're being pushed out of downtown. They don't feel welcome downtown. How can we get our senior citizens to be part of our growth and part of the growing economy?
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge.
All right. We're out of time. Bernie Narvaez in our council interview series. Thanks for your time today. Best of luck in the last couple of weeks here.
Thank you so much.
All right. Time for a break. News is on the way next at the top of the hour.
Fall is here, and it's a beautiful time to connect with nature, family, friends, and yourself. Head over to Napa Hot Yoga to hone your flexibility and balance.